We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. We're brought to you by Indeed and BetOnline.ag. I'm Ricky O'Donnell, as always. I'm here with Jason Pat. Jason, just a quiet, peaceful week going on in the world, in the country totally. Right now. Not too much news to report, huh?
Oh, no, not at all. These last couple days definitely been kind of stressful. I definitely had quite a bit to drink on Tuesday night. I was trying to avoid, like, I told myself even before that, like, I'd want to avoid the old doom scroll through Twitter. So, like, I was had some drinks, was watching some movies, some TV with the wife, not election coverage. I was trying to stay away. Of course, after a while, like, the wife went to sleep and I had a little too much to drink. Then that's when the scrolling through Twitter started coming out. And obviously I've just been kind of following from them. Very, obviously pretty stressful. It looks like the result is, at least for president, is the one we want. But yeah, been kind of crazy. And also now, I mean, in terms of the NBA, there's also some big news coming. It sounds like either tonight or maybe tomorrow, it sounds like the players are going to vote and probably we're going to have a December 22nd start. So, I mean, we're going to have the Bulls will be back in like a month and a half. Obviously, we have the draft coming up in less than 2 weeks on the 18th. And then there's going to be like free agency right after that. So that these next couple weeks are going to be absolutely crazy. So just like a lot going on here in the world, a lot going on here in the NBA coming up. And then with the Bulls as well, the Bulls also just hired a couple new assistant coaches, Billy Donovan filling out his assistant coaching staff. We know that Chris Fleming apparently survived the purge from Jim Boyle and staff. And there was a report, I have to pull this up. There was a guy last week that coming over from Philadelphia, I think his name was like Johnny, I have to pull this up, Johnny Bryan. But the news this week was that the Bulls have hired Maurice Cheeks, Mo Cheeks, Chicago guy, and then Josh Longstaff, who was from the Milwaukee Bucks. And then the other guy from the Sixers, his name, pulling it up right now, is John Bryant, coming up from the Sixers, apparently. We're not totally sure what he's doing, but Mo Cheeks, again, and Josh Longstaff, the big ones. There was a lot of speculation once Billy came over from OKC that Mo Cheeks was going to follow him. Mo Cheeks was there in OKC all five seasons. He was also there before that for a couple years with Scottie Brooks. I mean, obviously, Mo Cheeks has been around the game for a long time. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's been head coach in a few spots. He coached with Portland and Philadelphia. Not the most successful head coach, but just been around the game forever. Wealth of knowledge. Great guy. It sounds like just getting to connecting with players. Our guy Darnell Mayberry over at The Athletic wrote a nice piece today about Mo Cheeks and just like what he's going to bring to the table in terms of just kind of the relationship building, because that's obviously something that's been kind of pushed by this new Bulls regime about just connecting with players and all that kind of stuff. This article, I totally forgot about how Mo Cheeks, when that girl sang the national anthem completely froze up, Mo Cheeks went out and like sang right next to her. I totally forgot that he did that. Nick Collison had a quote here from early when he was with OKC, just about how good like Mochik's got along with players. So obviously, in terms of that hire, you're hoping that he can really connect with this young Bulls team and do all that. So, I mean, I certainly don't have like strong thoughts about Mochik's coming to the Bulls, but again, Chicago guy.
Seems like good news, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Rapport with Billy Donovan, that's a positive, and just the wealth of experience there. I mean, I feel like that's pretty good. That's pretty solid stuff coming on this coaching staff. And then this this Josh Long staff coming from Mike Budenholzer's staff with the Milwaukee Bucks. He also was a G League coach for the Hawks. So he was on with Coach Bud there. I think that was a couple years ago. He also had time with the Thunder. He and Mo Cheeks have coached together. He has a player development background. He got his start like right out of college as a high school coach, and then he came to the NBA. Spent some time with the Thunder. He also spent some time with the New York Knicks, doing some different stuff. Apparently, he was a close confidant with Kristaps Porzingis. So naturally, if Lauri Markkanen is around, you're gonna have to assume that maybe he'll work with Lauri Markkanen and work with other Bulls guys. Because one of the big things that one of the big issues with the prior regime was that their player development staff was very small, was not good, and Bulls had issues developing their young talent. So it seems like this guy, Josh Longstaff, is going to play a key role in that. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's pretty good news again. Like, it's hard to say, like, oh, yeah, like, great news on assistant coaches, like, unless they're, like, some huge name. But, I mean, Mo Cheeks has been around, and this Josh Longstaff, he's young, but he's got some great experience already, so... sounds pretty good to me. Ricky, any thoughts on these assistant coaches or any other thoughts on what's just been going on during this crazy week?
Yeah, I've mostly been focusing on draft coverage. We're going to talk about the draft more on this podcast. I released a mock draft today, and we released like a draft hub for all of the SB Nation draft content. So I can't say that I really did too much research on the assistants. But obviously, I'm excited to bring in Mo Cheeks. I think that that's going to be really beneficial. I think it's good that they're not just relying on last year's staff, that they actually like cleaned house besides for Fleming, bring in some new names. I think that this is absolutely going to be beneficial for them. And I totally forgot that Mo Cheeks was the head coach of the 2014 Pistons after they signed Josh Smith to it was a huge contract at the time. I think it might have been like $60 million, but they're still paying him. Yeah. So he didn't last too long there. I don't actually remember the exact story, but just seeing it on Basketball Reference.
He didn't make it a full season.
Yeah, recently been a head coach in the league. So all good things, I think. And, it's exciting that the Bulls are now, it just seems like fully a completely different organization from when last season ended. So that's what we had been harping on for so long. I think that's why we started this podcast in a lot of ways. And we are on to a fresh chapter of Bulls basketball, and that is very exciting.
Definitely is. We're definitely not changing the name, damn it, but it definitely is nice to breath of fresh air with this new coaching staff, with this new regime. Who knows how it's going to go, but it definitely is exciting. And the fact that the Bulls will probably be playing basketball again here like a month and a half or so, right around Christmas time, definitely kind of exciting. They haven't played since March. Was that like March 10th, March 11th, whenever that last game is? So obviously they got to be going crazy, want to get back out there. I know like some of these other star players, probably like LeBron and guys in the Lakers, maybe some guys on the Heat and those teams that made deep runs. I understand why they wanted maybe a little more of a break, because there was negotiations between basically this December 22nd start and then January 18th, which is Martin Luther King Day. But it was always kind of clear that once like the league basically presented the players with the financial stuff and all that, that it was probably always going to come back to this right around Christmas start. And I think they're going to play something like 72 games. It's going to be kind of crazy just with everything that's still going on with COVID and all that. But again, if they do get it going, it'll be starting in a month and a half, and that's kind of exciting just for this new era of Bulls basketball.
It's great for the Bulls. I can't imagine being the Lakers or the Heat. I mean, the Lakers specifically. LeBron's already been saying he's going to cherry pick the entire regular season until his body can heal. It is such a quick turnaround, and I feel like, hopefully the top teams aren't going to be too impacted by it, because you really just got to get in the tournament, and then from there, it's a whole different ballgame. But it is wild to me that we're going to be playing NBA basketball before Christmas again.
Yeah, it also does sound like in terms of this next season and like the play-in tournament, I mean, I think this does impact the Bulls for a team that has obviously not been good, hasn't been in the playoffs for years, but it looks like they're going to be going with maybe having 9 and 10 involved. So like the two seeds out. I think from when I saw that they were basically like 7 through 10 were going to be involved in some type of play-in tournament where like I think it was 7 and 8 would play each other. The winner would then get the 7 seed, and then I think the 8 seed would then play the winner between 9 and 10 to get the actually get the 8 seed. So that's obviously something that will probably be relevant for the Bulls. Hopefully, be relevant for the Bulls. Like who knows? Maybe they suck again. But in the Eastern Conference, especially, although it should probably be better with. I mean, the Nets should be better and some of these other teams possibly improving. Like, I mean, I know the Cavs want to be better. The Hawks want to be better. There's some pressure on those teams. So, I mean, a lot of these bad teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, like not really going to be much tanking. I mean, I think tanking in general is almost kind of dead with the new draft stuff. But certainly going to be relevant if they do implement this, the play-in tournament stuff. And if that 10th seed, if you just need to get the 10th to be alive. I was kind of skeptical about that before they did it in the bubble. The way it turned out in the bubble, I think almost worked out perfectly because it was just so close and very exciting. I guess we'll see how it does work out if they do this on a full-time basis. Like there might be times where if there are just like terribly awful teams getting in and just kind of shitty, but in terms of this year, especially for the Bulls, like it might come, I don't want to say it will definitely come into play, but it very well could.
Yeah. It's like before we go to the draft and go to free agency and see any of the trades, it feels too early to like start projecting about that stuff, but
yeah.
At the same time, it does feel like all of the player movement we've seen the last few off seasons probably isn't going to happen this off season. There just isn't a marquee free agent class, and in terms of like players who are going to be traded, like Drew Holiday is the biggest name who's being like widely rumored to be moved right now. So in the last few off seasons, we've seen so many of the top guys in the league change teams. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think this year is very much a holding pattern season because then in 21, you're going to get back on the right schedule in terms of when the season starts and ends. You're going to have a massive free agent class, of course, headlined by Giannis. And I think that, you know, the league probably will return to crazy player movement in the offseason, but just not this year. I think we're pretty much stagnant this year.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul will be traded. Like, I can't imagine the Thunder.
Yeah, CP will be traded. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's him, Drew Holiday, and then like maybe Oladipo for what's being rumored right now. But from what Zach Lowe said today, I mean, a lot of teams might be in like wait and see mode with him because when he came back, he just wasn't very good. Like maybe a team like the Heat have been rumored. Or, I mean, maybe the Bucks even as well. I know the Bucks have been rumored on CP3. Zach Lowe today said that they really haven't had many talks with either of those teams about Chris Paul or Victor Oladipo. But again, stuff will probably start heating up in the next week because I think once they agree on this new CBA and once this new like schedule, I think the moratorium to make moves will probably be lifted, maybe even this weekend. So maybe we'll start seeing stuff. But yeah, I mean, outside of like those top few teams, like probably not. Like, I mean, because like right now, like Bradley Beal. The Wizards say they don't want to move him, even for like high draft picks. I mean, like Devin Booker rumors coming out, but I can't imagine the Suns are trading him after their run in the bubble. Like, we'll see. I guess we'll see what happens with like the Sixers and Rockets. But it sounds like the Sixers want to keep Simmons and Embiid together for now, and I don't think the Rockets are trading Harden yet. They've been pretty adamant about it. I would tend to agree that there won't be anything too crazy this offseason, and that next season offseason will be the craziness, especially with some of these, with all these financial questions. But I guess we'll see. Like I said, in the next couple of weeks, things should start really picking up. And again, the draft is in 2 weeks. We will talk about the draft. Ricky just wrote a new mock draft. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, Indeed and BetOnline. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. And Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people and fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time. And there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it and fast. So try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. So go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. This offer is valid through December 31st. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. So head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use that promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are back. Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. As I teased before the break, let's talk a bit more about the draft. Ricky wrote a new mock draft 2 weeks out over at SBNation.com. Please go check that out. We are going to talk about it right now. He still has LaMelo Ball at the top of the draft. We'll talk about the Bulls here in a bit, but we're going to start out here with LaMelo Ball, Minnesota Timberwolves. So there's been a lot of talk about LaMelo Ball here in the last like week or two, kind of a lot, his stock going down, but I don't know if he's had, it sounds like teams maybe haven't been impressed with his interviewing. I know he's got some flaws in his game with his shooting, his defense, and that kind of stuff. Ricky, why do you think this fall is legitimate? Do you think he actually is going to fall? And why do you still have him number one?
I think the fall could definitely be legitimate. I mean, so right now it seems like there's a clear top three guys. It's LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, the shooting guard from Georgia, James Wiseman, the center from Memphis. Of those three guys, I think Ball is the best player, in my personal opinion. I also think that he is the most likely to fall to the Bulls at number four of the top three. It seems like Wiseman has big fans in Golden State and in Charlotte. I can't imagine him slipping past both those teams. For the Bulls, I think that's an absolute blessing. I would not want to spend a top five pick on James Wiseman. In terms of LaMelo, I think that he is polarizing for a lot of different reasons, but to me, he's the most talented player in the draft. And if he, you know, hits his best possible outcome, it's just not hard to see a route where LaMelo is a really good, really impactful NBA player. And like, listen, like if you're a bad NBA team, what you need is a dynamic creator. And the Timberwolves have D'Angelo Russell, yes, but Russell, I think, he's definitely not elite as a creator by any means. Like, he's more of a scorer. What's sort of nice about Russell is that you could play him off the ball and on the ball. But to me, it's like, if you're the Wolves, unless you have an elite creator, you got to take the guy who has a chance to become that. And I think that LaMelo does at 6'7 or 6'8. Just unbelievable vision, great creativity. He plays the game in such like unique rhythms. If you've ever watched a full game of LaMelo Ball, it's really weird. He'll take like basically three-point floaters or like, you know, a step inside the three-point line and go into a runner. He has really good touch on those shots, even though they're kind of like ridiculous shots that no one else would or should take. But to me, just that natural touch leads me to believe that he's probably going to be a pretty good shooter down the line. I also don't think you can discount the fact that, you know, while his shot selection has come under fire, he's just gotten a lot of reps in live games, taking deep pull-up threes off the dribble. You know, those reps could pay off for his development long-term. So, and you know, when you think about LaMelo's defense, you compare him to Anthony Edwards. Edwards definitely has, like, the better physical tools. I think Edwards is just, like, an elite of an elite athlete. Go into YouTube and type in Anthony Edwards football highlights. When he was, like, 10, 11 years old in Georgia, which of course is a football crazy state, they thought he was the next Barry Sanders. He ends up sticking with basketball, but he just has so much strength and, you know, quick twitch athleticism. It does not translate on the defensive end. He has way too many mental lapses. I think LaMelo's defense is going to be far ahead of Edwards' defense, especially early in his career. Now, Edwards can turn it on, as he did in the Michigan State game and the Maui Invitational. When he got super hot offensively, I think he scored 33 in the second half. But his defense was really impressive in that performance as well. Still, I just didn't see the consistent effort out of Edwards on the defensive end. So I think LaMelo gives you more defense. He gives you more creation upside. And yeah, that's why I think he's the best player in the draft, why I stuck with him at number one. I think it would be tremendous for the Bulls to get him if he were to somehow slip to number four. I don't know if, let's call it, his abrasive personality would turn Karnišovas and Eversley off, but to me, like, the Bulls need a lead creator. Until they get that, they're not going to be a very good team. And LaMelo and Killian Hayes are the two guys in this class who I think provide the most potential to one day turn into that. I would love LaMelo on the Bulls. If they had the first pick, I would take LaMelo. If he's there at number four, I think that it would be an absolute no-brainer to take him.
And so looking at another mock draft, Kevin O'Connor over at The Ringer updated his a couple days ago, and he has LaMelo falling to six with the Bulls passing on him. His little blurb here says, LaMelo is still on the board, expects Chicago's phones to be buzzing from teams like the Knicks, Pistons, and other playmaker-needy teams. The Bulls could also take Ball themselves. Then he has the Bulls taking Denny here. We'll talk about Denny in a little bit here, but I mean, would that just absolutely shock you if LaMelo did fall to four and they either passed on him totally or didn't trade it and took somebody else at number four?
I can't really say if it would shock me. I mean, I evaluate him as the best player in the draft. So in my opinion, it would just be the wrong move. But also, this is definitely a draft class without any sure things. Like, LaMelo has extremely legitimate questions. Here's my biggest question with LaMelo for all of a lot of bullshit that goes around in the discussion of him. I just wonder, is he going to be able to score efficiently in the half court? Like, I think that's pretty much what it comes down to. And, you know, I'm less worried about his personality or how he's going to be able to translate to the NBA in terms of, like, you know, being a young guy in a locker room full of veterans. I just worry, how is he going to score efficiently in the half court? And if he can't do that, how valuable will his passing be? At the end of the day, though, I think that he's just too damn talented to fail. So in terms of, like, would it shock me if the Bulls passed on him? I don't know, because we don't really know much about this front office, so they could do anything.
I
wouldn't really be shocked. And to this point, we're totally flying blind, man. It's like everyone is sort of putting Denny on the Bulls. When I did my mock draft, I gave him Killian Hayes because my thinking on this was, I believe Hayes is both the best player available and the best fit available when I'm doing this mock draft. If there was actual tangible reporting around the Bulls' interest in Denny, which I don't really think there has been, then I would have bumped him up. But there has been a lot of smoke about the Bulls' interest in Denny, for sure. But I wonder how much of it is actually sourced and how much of it is just people being like, well, Karnišovas wasn't born in America and Denny's not born in America, so let's put them together. To me, that doesn't really make a ton of sense in terms of logic. But we'll see. I mean, obviously, if Denny is on the board at four, I think that, you know, it would not be an absolute mistake to pick him or anything. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Denny's game, but I think from a value play, it's certainly a fine value to take Denny at four, right? Like, that's not something that I would get bent out of shape about. And, you know, sort of the sales pitch on Denny would be, in a draft where there aren't many sure things and there's so many guys with glaring weaknesses in their game, Denny's just like kind of solid across the board, right? Like, he doesn't have a standout skill the way that like LaMelo does, or like LaMelo's passing, Anthony Edwards' athleticism. You go down the line. I don't think that Denny really has that standout skill, but he doesn't really have any huge holes either. He's pretty big. He plays an aggressive game. Looks like he plays a high IQ game. So, that is where most of the smoke with the Bulls is right now, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, just like looking again at this Ringer, like mock, like KOC says, multiple sources have told me in the past week that the hero of Dia could be the playmaker of the Bulls coven. I know there were some previous mock drafts where there was kind of like putting that the international thing together, and when we had John Wasserman on last time, I mean, he kind of talked about how he's heard some stuff about Denny, but you do wonder, like, it's probably not coming from the Bulls. It's probably coming from maybe other teams who've kind of maybe talked to the Bulls or heard of what the Bulls have said. Like I said, there's definitely a lot of smoke about it. And you do wonder like how much that is like legit or if that's just like what teams assume the Bulls would do. You definitely do have to wonder about that. But yeah, I mean, I'm certainly like, can't say I've done like extensive scouting of his game. Like I've read about him. I haven't watched like a ton of film. I know like he hasn't like he's played like he's shown a lot of improvement like in the Israeli league with I think it's at Maccabi Tel Aviv, right? And he plays for. Yeah. And in like the Euro league, he like hasn't played that many minutes. So that's obviously a bit stronger against some of those other better teams. I know like if you're trying to like the Luka stuff that I think we've talked about this before, like, is asinine. I mean, he's just not even in the same stratosphere. Like, if you want to, like, oh, was Luka has panned out so well, like, then he's going to be that next guy. Like, absolutely not. Luka was playing for the second best league in the world, for, was that Real Madrid, I think, and he was absolutely dominating. He was like the EuroLeague MVP, like, just absolutely killing those teams. And teams still thought he shouldn't have been number one. He obviously should have been. Denny is not nowhere near Luka Doncic. So, like, stop that right now. I totally agree with you that I think I'd probably be fine with it. Like, he seems like a pretty versatile player. You worry about the shooting coming around in the NBA, but I mean, if anything, having a 6'8", 6'9" dude who can pass, who can do some of that kind of stuff, that's nice. Like, is that going to be high level enough in the NBA to actually make an impact? Like, I don't know. And if that shooting doesn't come around, how good is he actually? I'm not like too familiar with like his defense, all that kind of stuff. But and I was getting into an argument with some people the other day on Twitter about Denny. Like, there was like a huge Denny stan in my mentions, but then one of my good friends also hates him, like, doesn't want him at all. So I was just kind of like in the middle of it, like, you know, like, he'd probably be pretty solid. Like, this in Kevin O'Connor's mock draft, he has shades of Gallo, Nick Batum, Dario Saric. Like, if the Bulls, like, that's obviously not exciting if the Bulls are taking that at number four, but in a draft, like you said, where there's really no sure stars or anything like that, like, if you got a guy who ended up being Danilo Gallinari or like a Nicholas Batum who sucks now but was really good with the Blazers before, like, that'd be a really nice player and a really helpful player.
Saric, I think, is a good comparison for Denny, but I think that, you know, and Saric has actually turned himself into a pretty decent shooter. I think Saric hit 36% of his threes last year on 3.6 attempts per game. Saric isn't like a huge impact guy, though. Saric also a much better free throw shooter. He's an 85% free throw shooter, which is a big concern for Denny because he was under 60%. But if you sort the Suns by BPM, which is just, it's not a perfect all-in-one stat, but it's, you know, it's good enough. Saric was their eighth best player, sorted by BPM. And in terms of win shares, he was fifth. So I don't really, my problem with Denny is that I just don't love the idea of taking him in the top five because I don't think he has super high upside. Like, it's hard for me to project him as a multiple-time All-Star, and that's kind of what you want if you're picking in the top five. But I would not be upset if they took Denny, to be totally honest. There are definitely a few other guys in this draft I would take ahead of him if the Bulls stick at number four, but at the end of the day, I would not be like, you know, firecracker Chauvis or anything.
Right. I see you have him at number six in your mock draft. So obviously, like, just a few spots back. I feel like just the hype for him has kind of grown. I know, like, Ethan Strauss of The Athletic wrote about how, like, the Warriors really like him and that some other teams really like him. Yeah, right. I mean, the Warriors have just been leaking that they love everybody. Like, literally, like, 10 different guys, like, they've talked about. Like, obviously, trying to probably play the trade game as well because they would like to probably trade the number two pick. So I guess using that as a little segue here, back to your mock draft at number two, you said, we talk about Denny, you talk about James Wiseman, there's been some smoke about him to the Warriors as well, but you have Edwards going still to the Warriors number two. Why Edwards? Do you think they'll even keep the pick?
I don't know. I mean, I think this is a draft where everyone wants to trade back, right? But when you look at, you got to figure out who wants to trade up, though. And then, like, there's not that many teams with multiple picks. Obviously, Boston has three. Boston has 14, 26, and 30. So, you know, you could talk me into the fact that the Bulls should trade back with Boston. But, you know, if you got the second pick, I think it's just going to be tough for another team to, like, go up and get a guy. Now, supposedly, Charlotte really likes Wiseman. Maybe Charlotte wants to do a little 2-3 flip or something. But I expect the Warriors to be taking a guy, if not at two, then still within, you know, high in the draft. I gave them Edwards because, well, I just don't like Wiseman as a player. I think that Onyeka Okongwu is the best center prospect in this draft. I think that Wiseman is probably the second best center prospect, I don't really see an avenue where he returns value as a top five pick, just given his lack of versatility, right? Like, he's not someone who's going to put the ball on the floor, pass it, or shoot it. And then defensively, you basically have to play drop coverage with him. And that can be really valuable, right? But I don't view him as being like an Anthony Davis level all-world defender. And that's really what it would take to select him this high in the draft. So I said Edwards because I think that this is the best possible landing spot for him. You could probably say that about a lot of different guys, because playing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green just makes the game easier. But especially for him, like, Golden State just needs guys who can contribute next year. Their bench is really thin after that top-level star power. And I think that Edwards, you can sort of plug him into the lineup next year, not in a super high usage role. And I do think he can be productive. He's like a really good cutter when he's locked in offensively. He's not going to be someone who you really want to like give him the ball in an isolation or a pick and roll and just let him run your offense. But if you can teach him good habits in a successful team context like the Warriors have, I think that he could end up being really good. I mean, his athleticism and his ability to get to the rim when he wants to get to the rim is just like really wild. Like, there's no one who can put pressure on the rim in this draft class the way Anthony Edwards can. It's a question that we talked about with RJ Barrett last year too, though, right? It's like, can you rewire the way a guy plays the game? And Edwards is not a high IQ player. I think that that is probably the biggest knock against him. That shows up on both ends of the floor.
Is the Wiggins comp unfair? Like, if they took Edwards, they obviously the Warriors have Wiggins too.
Well, Wiggins is taller for sure. I don't think that it's an unfair comp, really. I think that Edwards has more shot-making ability than Wiggins ever had. But, you know, Wiggins obviously a little bit bigger. I guess, like, the real... Like, Wiggins, I would say, we sort of don't talk about it anymore, but, like, Wiggins is absolutely one of the best athletes in the NBA still. And I think that Edwards is going to be one of the best athletes in the NBA when he comes. To me, like, if you're the Warriors, you probably want to move off Wiggins. Like, the Warriors did that Russell trade so that they could get the draft picks. So, I think that Edwards probably fits best there, and if he doesn't go there, I see him going to Charlotte. I don't really see a scenario where Edwards is still on the board for the Bulls at four.
Yeah, makes sense. What was I going to say about? Speaking of the Warriors, so I guess bringing back to the Bulls, I know Zach Lowe in his big offseason preview column today, really the only Bulls mentioned was talking about, which, and I think we talked about this on a recent pod about the Bulls, how he was intrigued by a possible like Bulls Warriors 4-2 swap and like including Lowry or Wendell Carter Jr. I cannot forget what I feel like we both agreed that they should not do something like that, right? Like that'd be a bit much to move up two spots in this draft.
I would not do that because I view Killian Hayes as being one of the best players and he's going to be available at four. I think that like maybe there's a scenario where you do a 4-2 swap and you don't give up Lowry or Wendell. Like I think that like Thad Young or Sato would be really possibly impactful for the Warriors next year just because they're going to be trying to win the championship. Yep. You need a good bench. I know that Thad and Sato didn't have good years last season with the Bulls. Also, they were playing under Jim Boylan. Also, they were playing in John Paxson's franchise. So what the hell do you expect? So if I'm Golden State, like that would be decent value if you could make the salaries work out. You pick up two role players who can
the Warriors
right now.
The Warriors, if they really wanted to, could just take them one of either of those guys into that trade exception they have. It's over $17 million. I don't know if there have been rumors that they do not want to pay all that extra luxury tax unless they're getting like a legitimate like impact player. So like that they might want to send something back. So I'm not totally sure, but like if they actually were willing to just like spend gobs of money, it could literally just be the pick swaps and then the one of those two players into that trade exception, and it would technically work. I know like we've also like mentioned like bringing up like Otto Porter, but then you'd probably have to take back Wiggins. And in that case, I feel like that should be like a non-starter, right? Bulls should absolutely want no part of
taking back Wiggins. And the Warriors should want Otto Porter. Like,
right. Yeah. Warriors, he'd be really good for them.
That's a no brainer. Like Otto Porter would be amazing for them. So can you make this a 3-team deal where the Bulls can flip Wiggins to someone else? Will anyone take Wiggins
maybe
at this point?
I don't know.
Never forget that Wiggins, when Glenn Taylor, the Wolves owner, offered him that contract, he made him shake his hand and promise to try harder. One of the all-time funniest NBA anecdotes. Also, it's probably kind of BS on Taylor's part. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
That's such boomer stuff right there. But probably never a good thing to give a guy a max contract, which I think Wiggins has, when you have to ask him to shake your hand in your eye and say he's going to try harder.
Not good. Yeah, and Porter will be, it'll be interesting to see what the Bulls do without a Porter. I wrote something about this at Forbes recently, just like, I've $28 million. He's a good player when healthy. When, if you looked at Seth Partnow's, at like the tiers he did, the Athletic, Otto Porter graded out as the Bulls' best player on that. Obviously the injury problems when he's been on the floor for the Bulls, like their on-court net rating has been really solid. So like he can still make an impact when he's healthy, but you just don't know about his health. So, like, I'm curious to see, like, if they, assuming he does opt in, which I feel like he'd be crazy not to, like, I can't see who would be giving him a long-term deal. It certainly should not be the Bulls this offseason. If they try to use him to, in some type of trade, or if they're just fine kind of rolling with him as their starting small forward. I know I was reading, and I've almost might talk myself into possibly using Otto Porter in the Chris Paul trade. I feel like I go back and forth on possibly trading for Chris Paul. Obviously, Otto Porter would have to be involved with that. Really quick before we wrap up here, what would you think of, I think we've talked about this before, what would you think about like saying like, Otto Porter, another, you'll need some more salary, so then maybe like Sato or Young, and then like a future protected first round pick. This was something our guy Mark from Bulls HQ also was kind of really pushing for. What would you think about something like that? And would you think the Thunder would even go for that?
I just feel like CP3 was amazing last year. He's still one of the best players in the league, to be clear. But like, what are you really hoping to accomplish by getting him? Like, I don't really see a scenario where the Bulls can get CP3 and then build a championship contending team around him before he starts to fall off.
I think the idea would be like, you get him, you become competent, you become more attractive, you help build up the value of your younger players. And then you kind of hope that you can then maybe bring in, you either use that building of value to bring in, to make another trade for a younger star, or like then your team is more attractive to another star to come in. So I think that just getting your team back to like competent and attractive again, maybe a playoff team, and then you kind of go from there. But again, yeah, I mean, CP3 is old. Like it could easily backfire. He could get hurt. I mean, he's had injury problems. Maybe you're still just super mediocre and it doesn't work out, and then he still has that huge player option for 2021. So I definitely see both sides of it. Like, I've talked myself into it at times, and then other times, like, I'm not sure, but it would at least be very interesting. He would make the Bulls a lot better if he was healthy for next season, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Kevin Farragut, NBA Couch Side on Twitter, he's been pushing for a CP3 deal too. Kevin wants them to swing trades for CP3 and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Going into next season. So I always love Kevin's creative thinking on that and individual thinking. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not as into it as some people are. Certainly, though, if it happened, it would be exciting and would really give us a lot of stuff to talk about throughout the next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess let's wrap up here. I have actually one more draft thing from this mock draft. Apparently Darnell Mabry, I think he did a chat the other day at The Athletic, and he brought up he thinks the Bulls are taking Denny or Isaac Okoro. We've talked about Okoro a bit. You have him down at 11, and I'm assuming it's because you're worried about his offense and his jump shot coming through. Do you think any chance you think the Bulls would take Okoro at 4? Do you think that'd be maybe a trade back candidate if they actually
did? I love Okoro. I would totally take Okoro at 4. I think that he is, like, him and Vassell are two guys who I would probably prefer over Denny. So Killian would be my first guy. And then I like Okoro and Vassell. I think that, like, if you want him and you can't find like a perfect trade back, like, it's very possible that if you try to trade back with the Knicks, let's say, that Okoro's off the board. So
yeah,
if you really want Okoro, I would say just take him. But like, if you, like, let's say LaMelo's still on the board, the Knicks are offering you 8 and 27. The Knicks want to jump up to get LaMelo. I personally, if I'm the Bulls, would just take LaMelo. And if the Bulls really want Okoro, I would be too worried that Cleveland or Atlanta is going to take him. Like, there's a ton of rumors right now that Cleveland loves Okoro. I still had them taking Obi Toppin, but I was really close to putting Okoro at 5. So I don't think it would be a stretch at all. I do think that Okoro would be a very legitimate pick for the Bulls, and I would be really excited about it if they took him because he is a absolute stud defensively. He can do it all defensively. I mean, he can be your lockdown guy at the point of attack. He's amazing in terms of his rotations and his help defense, and then he can even like wall up at the rim, even though he's not that big. I think he's only 6'6 or 6'7. I'd like to see a wingspan measurement on him, but he's just built like a tank. And then his offense, the thing is, he can't shoot at all. He's a total not shooter. But maybe you can build that up. He does have one really strong offensive skill, though, and it's that he gets to the foul line a lot. So to me, like, that's a terrific skill and something that you could definitely start to, you know, develop with him and see his avenues to being a useful offensive player, even though his jump shot is weak. Hopefully the jump shot develops along with the rest of it. And if that happens, I sort of see a scenario where, like, let's say Okoro hits his best possible outcome. Not many guys really do that, right? I would say that Kawhi did it. I would say that Jimmy Butler did it. Like, they could not have been any better than they turned out to be, right? They maximized every single ounce of potential in their game. If that were to happen with Okoro, I feel like he could easily be the best player in the draft. And the only other, like, you know, you could make a case for Ball and Edwards, but I mean, the fully weaponized version of Okoro, where he is at least a decent threat on catch and shoot, and he's just a monster getting to the rim, and he's insane defensively, absolutely worthy of a top five pick. So at that point, it's on the Bulls to develop him.
Yep, for sure. All right, nice. Obviously, again, draft in 2 weeks. We will probably do at least one more pod where we will do like an official draft preview. I don't know how much more we have to say. We'll probably bring in a, maybe get another guest for that. But again, that's November 18th, the draft. Well, if there's anything else that happens, again, like with the league, it looks like they will be voting tonight or tomorrow to for official coming back. We'll have the draft. We'll then have free agency right after that. We'll have training camp in like less than a month. We'll see if any moves happen in the next, any trades, because I think like this, like I said, that trade stuff might kind of open up in the next week or so. So if anything does happen with the Bulls, we'll be here to talk about it. But besides that, we're obviously laser focused on the draft that coming up in 2 weeks. So as always for us here at Cash Consideration, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. Shout out to our sponsors, Indeed and Bet Online. Go check out all the other great podcasts across the Blue Wire Network. We've got so many. And with the NBA coming back already, and with all this stuff happening, you'll absolutely want to go check out all those other great podcasts. And for us, obviously, rate and review us. Let us know how we're doing. You know, you can find us on Twitter. Leave us those great ratings on iTunes, wherever you listen to your pods. So for us, it's Jason Ricky at Cash Considerations. We'll talk to you guys next time. Take it easy.